School is in session with Basketball U. Welcome to your study time for the world of college hoops. Now, here are your professors, Tyler Rocky and Shane Orley on ESPN 1000.
And welcome on in. It's Basketball U on ESPN 1000. Also, you can watch the show on YouTube, youtube.com. Search ESPN Chicago. Subscribe, all that fun stuff. You can watch the show there as well as on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Tyler Rocky and Shane Norling. We've got Justin Pottinger with us today as well. We're going to go through our top 16s because we are inching closer and closer a week from tomorrow. We're going to have a bracket. Wow, that snuck up on me right there. I don't know how I just lost sight of that. But yeah,
what a time to be alive.
A week from tomorrow, we're going to have a bracket.
We'll all be nursing our St. Patty's Saturday hangovers in front of the television with the Selection Sunday show. There's nothing better in life.
Conference tournaments coming up this week. We've got some great games to round out the regular season as well this week. Of course, it's the big-time rivals. You've got Tennessee, Kentucky. You've got Carolina, Duke. We'll break all those down, get you our picks and all that stuff. But a week from today, we're going to have a bracket. We'll also kind of get you ready for some conference tournament stuff, and we'll cook up a parlay as we always do. But as we look at the top 16s, and that's kind of the thing now, right? And I think the NCAA tournament committee has done a good job with this lately. I think it's a really good thing to start doing. And I wish they did it a little bit more. But they released that initial 16, and then they kind of go into hibernation, and you're left to guess and go off of the a million bracketologists between now and when we finally do get the bracket on March 17th. But as we look at our top 16, all three of us have sort of crafted something here. We can go 16-1 on this, but as I look at it here, all right, maybe we'll take four team chunks as like ours by seeds. So
sure.
For my four seeds right now, I have South Carolina checking in at 16, Alabama 15, Illinois 14, Kentucky at 13.
South Carolina 16, Illinois 15?
Alabama 15.
Alabama 15, 14. Illinois 14, Kentucky 13. Okay. I'd have Illinois, I think, a little higher than that, but I understand where you're at.
Illinois had a solid season this year. It's just there's been ups and downs. Like, they just have spotty losses.
Yeah, but those are just the bad nights in the Big Ten.
Screw you.
Like, you know what I'm saying, Potsy? Am I right? It's just the bad nights in the Big Ten.
It's just another night. It's another night.
Just can't any given Wednesday in the Big Ten, man.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Listen, Tuesday nights sometimes, it's rough.
They played a good game against Purdue, but I think we're starting to see how good Purdue is because of the guards.
What is it with South Carolina as a possible four seed? Just off of, like, because you look at some of the other numbers. Not that KenPom's the be-all, end-all, but 46th in KenPom, and I just think, how are we getting South Carolina, 47th even, all the way up to a four seed just on the like, I need somebody to release the net.
Yeah, I mean,
you
seriously.
You asked me to do a top 16, honest to God, I'm like, I don't know how the criteria works. Do I want to be right? Do I want to just offer the 16 teams that I think are the best?
I'm giving you my top 16 teams.
Okay, then I can go that route too, and South Carolina will not be involved. Like, my issue with the entire thing now in Selection Sunday is I have no idea what the 4 and 3 are actually going to end up looking like. We have a pretty good idea, 1 and 2, but you just know some wacky team is going to wind up as like a 4, like Wisconsin, probably shouldn't be, but one of these wacky teams is going to end up sneaking in there. Because nobody can figure out the net.
I think part of it, though, is that conference tournaments will sort out a lot of the gray area. It usually does. You'll see a team get hotter. You'll see a team bow out in the first round that they play in. And it usually sorts itself out to some degree.
Right. Well, you've talked about a little bit like Syracuse. There are games that they've won where they've then apparently dropped in the net rankings.
And then you've got Villanova, who goes out and blows out, who'd they blow out? Georgetown, like a week ago.
Right.
And shot up eight spots.
Or you've my school, Michigan State, loses to Purdue, goes up. It's like,
yeah.
Can we, somebody explain to me how this thing actually works. Anyway, my top 16 today. Potsy, is this going to be offensive to you if I say Kansas is 16?
That would be very, very disrespectful.
You might get us kicked off the air for that.
That would be low.
It's a top four seed, man. That's not that disrespectful.
I guess.
I'm ahead of KenPom.
Potsy's going to get the
KenPom call. KenPom said 17.
Yeah.
Potsy's going to get the call from Zetterman. Silence the mics.
Hey, look, man. Kansas, if you want to be higher than 16, play better. I don't know what to tell you.
They have had, what is this, the Potsy, the most losses in Big 12 play under Bill Self?
Mm-hmm. This is correct.
Seven losses. Now, they were fantastic in the non-con.
And we're 8-point dogs today.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Kansas 16.
Oh.
Boy, that was really like a knife.
Kansas has lost three of their last six.
I was really. Yeah.
We've had our best player.
You sounded like I stabbed
player.
You.
Yeah.
That exhale was like a hit your lung.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's low. I got
it's
a much
tough,
higher.
Man, but it's
I got a much higher.
All right, I'm going Kansas 16, jeez. Kentucky 15, Marquette 14.
Interesting.
Hmm.
And Baylor 13.
You're going to anger some people with that Marquette 14.
Yeah, maybe this guy.
Yeah, what do you
no,
got,
I'm
Potsy?
With him. I'm with him. So my honorable mention, South Carolina.
Oh, I thought you had Marquette like 157th.
Yeah. So South Carolina, they just got left off. I had them at 17.
Why are you giving us a 17?
Well, because honorable mention, you had them on your list, so I thought I would bring them up.
All right.
So I got Illinois at 16, 15 Alabama, 14 Baylor, 13 Marquette.
All right. So I've got, I'll get into my next four here. I've got Kansas 12, Marquette 11, Creighton 10, Baylor 9. The reason I have Marquette higher than you guys, I'm not dinging them for the losses with Kolek. Without Kolek, I should say. Because, and that's something that the committee does do. They take into account what your body of work is and who was present at the time. They take into account coach suspensions. They take into account if guys are suspended. They take into account injuries and all that stuff. And I don't think, even though Marquette hasn't looked great as of late, I don't think they're really going to ding them for what has happened these last couple of games. I mean, to be honest, losing by just 7 at home against UConn is kind of honorable for them without their best player, without an All-American point guard, without the best guard in the country. And then the loss at Creighton, you're playing without your two best players in that one on the road against a good team. I don't think they're going to frown upon Marquette and what they've done. I think they're going to look at the whole body of work within the Big East, and they're going to look at a team that also had a lot of success out in Maui as well and has a road win against Illinois, too. Even though that is way earlier in the season, and I don't think that gets as much credence, I do think it's something they will look at.
That's beautiful. My counterpoint would be Shaka Smart, A, and B, Tyler Kolek rumors he can't read. Your thoughts?
The fact that the compliance officer came out and actually addressed the rumor might be the funniest story of the season. It might be. And then the replies beneath her tweet were also hilarious as well, but we won't share those ones.
Where are we at in society when a clearly fake Twitter account
Potsy sends us a tweet from this guy once a week.
I do.
He's like, yo, look at this.
What's the guy's name? Simon Charles?
Something
every
like
time
that.
I get this in the group chat. Simon Charles, look at this, man. Tyler Kolek suspended. He can't read. Yo, Caleb doesn't want to play here.
That's
yo.
Just insane. The Tyler Kolek stuff was hysterical. Genuinely, earnestly with Marquette, I will simply never believe in them.
Don't get me wrong. They may be a 14-3 upset in my bracket. Yep. But
it's a bit like Tennessee, who I think is a fantastic team this season. And I don't know if I'm even going to play half of them in my top 16 because I just, Barnes can't do it.
Yeah.
If you're asking me to seed this in a way where I feel like I'm ranking it in order of who can actually win a national championship, then Tennessee, goodbye. Marquette, way down the line. You know what I mean? Like, these teams just aren't going to make a run. Moving forward, 12, my three seeds, I guess, Illinois, 11 Alabama, 10 Creighton, 9 Iowa State.
Creighton?
Iowa State sold me a little bit this year. I was down on them outside of Hilton, but they've sold me that they're legit. And Creighton, I'm against them today. A little sneak peek. I like Nova as a short dog, but Creighton's been road warriors. They're fun. Like, outside of them getting smashed by St. John's, they've been absolute warriors on the road.
Remember, when they got smashed by St. John's, that was coming on the heels of kicking the piss out of UConn, who might be the best team in the country.
And it was right after the Patino presser with the we could lose to Georgetown and all this stuff. So, yeah.
You kind of caught Slick Rick at the wrong time there. Potsy, who are your next four?
All right. I got Auburn at 12, and then I got Kentucky 11, Iowa State 10, and Duke 9
to round out my three seeds. Can I give you guys a quick Auburn note? They've played 8 quad one games. Do you know their record in those quad one games?
They've played bad.
They've played 8 quad one games. Guess their record in those games.
1-7 or something?
1-7.
Wow.
Wow.
Does that scare you a little bit?
That scares me a little bit.
I was just kind of net sifting last night, netting and chill, if you will. And
oh, my.
And 1-7.
Get a glass of Pinot and go through the net rankings.
That scares me because I'm a nerd about this stuff. Like, I was going through bracketology last night just for the fun of it. Picked out 4 Final Four teams, and Auburn made it in as a Final Four team for me. They did. So that's the thing that's
weird is, like, their metrics are fantastic. They're 6 in KenPom. They're 6 in the net as well. So, like, that all lines
great
up
coach,
there.
They got star players.
They're deep, but
very deep. Very deep team.
And they really don't have any bad losses in conference. Their one bad loss for the year is App State. But even App State is a solid team. Like, their losses in conference this year are road Bama, road Mississippi State, road Florida, road Tennessee, and home against Kentucky. So you can't really point to many bad losses on their slate, but it's just like they kind of don't get up for the big ones. And that's a little concerning to me. But they definitely have talent. They definitely have experience. Like,
they've been around.
I don't know where I'm going to ultimately bow out with Auburn in my bracket. I don't know where how far I'm gonna get with them.
It's all gonna be matchup dependent. It really is.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, next four. I've got Duke at 8, Iowa State at 7, Tennessee at 6, and Carolina at 5. You know, Iowa State is a team that really just has no bad losses this year.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
Because they win all their big games at home and the losses that they take are expected ones on the road. Like, it's they have a lot of good wins and
no
bad losses.
They have not lost a game at home this year.
The Hilton magic, man. It's just, it's unbelievable.
And even the games that they lose, it's not like they get blown out either. It was like 8 points to Houston, 2 to Baylor. They did get blown out against BYU, but going out and facing a new opponent, too, that's always going to be tricky on the road in the mountains. And then 8-point loss on the road to Oklahoma, and then a couple of non-con losses.
I like this Cyclone team, man, to kind of come out of nowhere and be, like, legit in the Big 12 when it wasn't really expected. I like this Cyclone team a lot.
The one thing that scares me, bad free throw shooting team and also not a good offensive team. So they'll be in every game, but if they catch a hot team, that could... I mean, they are the number 2 defense in the country, so defense should travel, but you get the plucky mid-major, or if you play Bama, like if Iowa State were to play Bama, and Bama just has one of those ballistic games where they can go for 100, and they play at that level, then they could be screwed.
My next top, the 2 seeds, I guess the way we're doing this, 7 Duke, 6 Arizona, 5 North Carolina. Oh, I missed 8. Auburn 8.
Auburn
7
8, okay.
Duke, 6 Arizona, 5 North Carolina.
So that's our big
Carolina.
Discrepancy right now is Auburn. I have Auburn. I don't even have them in my top 16.
Wow.
I just the resume's not there for me.
That's fair.
On Auburn.
So you had South Carolina.
I had South Carolina in, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, Posse, what do you have?
All right, I got Creighton at 8. I don't think they'll end as a 2 seed, but I think they'll be one of the strongest 3 seeds, and I have them as a top 8 team in my mind. So I got Creighton at 8, Kansas for me at 7. It's the same thing with you, Tyler, that you said about Colic and Marquette. it's Kansas and Kevin McCullough for me.
It's fair.
I mean, dude, when Kansas is fully healthy, 1 through 5, they are not deep, and that's what's going to kill them. But 1 through 5, I mean, they have wins over 3-1 seeds we're about to name. Tennessee, Houston, UConn. This team can do it, but they're not too deep, and that's what's going to hurt them probably. But I got them at 7, and then Arizona 6, North Carolina 5.
So McCullough's missed 5 games this year.
And I think we have two wins. So I think we're 2-3 in that span. And one of those losses was a home loss versus it wasn't a good one. It was a couple
games ago.
BYU. BYU just was not good.
All right. And then rounding out our top 4, our 1 seeds here, I've got Arizona, Purdue, UConn, and Houston.
I've got 2 teams that I hate and don't trust at 4-3, Purdue and Tennessee. I can't discount either of them. I actually wanted to leave both of them off, but you just can't. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't do that and have any level of seriousness to it. So Purdue and Tennessee are 4-3, and then UConn and Houston, 1-2.
UConn and Houston are in a league of their own right
now. Yeah, Houston's number 1 with a bullet for me. I like UConn a lot, but like Houston, Potsy, have you wrapped your head around this yet? This guy back here, man, all season.
Biggest hater.
Houston, they're not the best team.
You'll see.
Houston,
we'll see today.
That.
Oh. No, not today. You'll see in the tournament.
I think we'll see today, too.
They scare me on their offensive abilities. I mean, for me, Tennessee is my 4th team, and then it's these top 3 teams, guys, are just, they're in a league of their own. You have Purdue. They probably have the best body of work when you're looking at all 3 of these teams. UConn,
Purdue won Maui, if I'm remembering correctly. Like the best Maui field of all time. Yes. They beat Gonzaga,
and that was
Tennessee,
the early, that
Marquette.
Was the first month of the season.
Yeah.
Overall, they got the best body of work. You got Houston. All the computer numbers point their way. Your KenPoms, what bracketologies, whatever you want to look at.
The way you said that was so dismissive.
Well, that's
all
that's
your
how
calculator
it is.
Numbers, nerd.
That's how it is.
They'll tell you.
And then UConn, they've just been the best team in the country. They're my number 1 overall team.
That is peak hating right there.
Yeah, like, I got to be honest.
That is peak hating.
That it's like, whatever. UConn goes and gets smashed at Creighton. Just smashed at Creighton. And the next day, Potsy sends, hey, I got to send you guys my top 25 for this article. And it's UConn 1, Houston 2. And Houston had just beaten Kansas. And I'm like, this, you got to stop. You got to put an end to this.
I can't say anything because, dude, I love Creighton. So it's like Creighton's one of my favorite teams. But UConn overall, 1 through 7. They have probably the best lineup, one of the best coaches. They could easily go back-to-back this year. They'll probably be my national champion.
That's hilarious. All right. Those are
you're just a bad guy.
Yeah, you're...
Just a generally
why are you such a hater, Potsy? Why are you a hater?
You're supposed to be objective about this?
I don't know. I just don't believe in Houston. I really don't. It's the scoring for me. I know they're, what are they, like top 5 in the nation in scoring?
They're 12th on KenPom offensive efficiency.
Yeah, it's...
And the number 1 defense in the country.
They're going to burn out, man. I don't trust them.
All right. We'll see. It's going to be a fun tournament because... the Purdue thing is interesting to me. I know you don't trust them, Shay, but to me, Purdue is a way different team than last year. It's like almost night and day for me what Purdue is from last year.
Their guards grew up.
Because the guards grew up. You brought in Lance Jones. It's a different team to me now. And that's why I do think they can make the Virginia-type run where it's the arc of lose to the 16 seed, go be a 1 seed the next year, and then go out and win it the next year. I think Purdue is on that trajectory right now.
Yeah, my biggest problem the more I watch some of these Purdue games is I like that they have guards that can shoot. I like Braden Smith, Lance Jones can both step out, hit shots.
Team shoots 41% from 3.
I wish they would attack the rim a little more. I think that's the thing that I think is going to get them in trouble now in the tournament, is it feels like still, I've said this all year, their only method of attacking the rim is getting Zach Edey on a post-up. And I saw it in the tournament last year where there was like, we have nowhere else to go. We're just going to dump it to Edey down low and let Edey be Edey. I wish that their guards would drive the rim a little bit. Just a little bit.
That's fair. All right, when we come back, we will get you a primer on the conference tournaments. The big ones start this week. Looking forward to all that. We'll do that when we come back. Tyler Anke, Shea Norling, it's Basketball U.
This is Tyler and Shea.
Tyler and Shea.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Champ Week already underway in some portions of the country. The big ones start this week, though. All the Power Sixes get going a little bit later on this week. We do have the final weekend of college hoops. We'll preview that with you with some of our picks in a little bit. But as we dive into some of these conference tournaments, what's at stake for certain teams, what we're looking for, we can kind of go conference by conference here. And beginning in the ACC, as of now, Joe Lunardi has just four ACC teams in his field of 68 teams. He's got two on the outside looking in. Wake Forest, man, a killer loss for them. They lost to Georgia Tech, who has kind of just slayed everyone in their way. They've kind of ruined some seasons, too. Georgia Tech is 4-1 in quad one games this year.
Yeah, bad team, but it just does feel like they have been the team ruiner.
They've beaten the five highest-ranked teams on their schedule. How crazy is that? And they're not even going to sniff the tournament. They're like below 500.
Good for Georgia State, man. I love that.
So
Do you know what that is? It's a tough night in the ACC.
Tough night in the ACC. No, it's a bad loss in the ACC.
That's true.
There's no tough nights in the ACC.
That's why, like, Wake being out is, like, kind of crazy to me. It's one of the first times that I've really come to your side of this argument where it's like, if they just played in the Big 12, they'd be in with their exact resume. Mm-hmm. But it's whatever.
Lunardi does have Virginia as his last team in. They are number 68. They would be playing in Dayton to open things up here. But as we look at the ACC tournament, kind of what's at stake here, Wake Forest obviously has a lot riding on this because, and I think Wake Forest can certainly make a run as well. But the rest of the conference, some of the teams that are maybe hovering around the bubble as well. You look at, I mentioned Pitt there. What's going to be the deal with a team or like how much can a team like Clemson really move up and stuff like that? I think they're slotted in as like a 5-seed consensus across the board on bracket matrix right now. And then it comes down to teams like, I mean, Syracuse probably needs to make a bit of a run if they want to get in. But I think all eyes are sort of focused on what Pitt, Wake Forest, and Virginia do in this ACC tournament. North Carolina and Duke are really just playing for seeding.
Now, I will say the way this is set up right now, I want it to almost be exactly this. At least one part of it. Mm-hmm. St. John's and Virginia right now would play against one another in a play-in matchup. Mm-hmm. That is Rick Pitino, Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
And I think America needs it.
Well, okay.
I think that America needs
that. Can I sell you on a better matchup? You know who is also in the last four in? Is New Mexico. You could get the Pitinos squaring off against each other in Dayton, Ohio.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, doesn't that just get your pants a little
that
tight?
That would be something.
And then your other matchup would be Nova and Virginia, based on the last four in right now, if you were to shuffle them around a little bit. Like, those would be fun matchups there. I'm all for that.
St. John, like...
And you know the committee loves to play those games.
This is like the Avengers movie, when they're like, did you destroy the universe? Yeah, what did it cost? Everything. Like, for me, it's like, did St. John's get into the tournament? Yeah, what did it cost? Wake Forest. Okay. You know what? I'll make that trade.
Yeah.
Sorry, Wake, too. I'll make that trade.
I would, too. As much as it goes against everything I stand for in the ACC versus the world argument that I make every week, I would take that because I also am team Rick Pitino versus the world. When everyone was bashing him for his comments that he made, I was the one saying that is the best X's and O's coach in the entire country.
He's brilliant.
I mean, the fact that this team even has a sniff of the tournament right now all rests on his shoulders. He has put together a fantastic team. He took St. John's best player and said, nope, don't need you. Posh Alexander, you can go to Butler. That's fine. And he's found a way to get this team on the doorstep.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a really great accomplishment to see Patino come back. And I shouldn't say great accomplishment. He did bring in 11 transfers. He handpicked this team. That's why people took issue with his comments when he's like, they're not athletic. They can't move laterally. Mm-hmm. You handpicked the players.
But that's also a tough way to craft a team.
Of course.
I mean, you're kind of taking 11 dice rolls there, especially when you're taking some guys from Iona to come join you at the next spot.
And a lot of guys who don't know each other and are now, you have to get a team to play together when they haven't.
It's why Kentucky hasn't had success in the tournament, is because you've got a bunch of guys who are one, not as much anymore, but the way it used to be was a bunch of guys who were one and dones, and they just couldn't execute in the tournament after that.
Yeah, so I like seeing St. John's be successful just as a brand. I like seeing it with Rick Pitino because it's fun for me. And yeah, for everybody who said Pitino doing this, that's unacceptable. Well, they've been really good since he did that press conference, so it might have been a good thing. Maybe they're going to get an attorney. Maybe they'll get a little deep run. And I'm telling you, Aki, Potsy, there's nothing America needs more than a Pitino run in March.
Yes.
It would save us all.
White suits
we
and all.
We are barreling through what is bound to be one of the worst years in this country for discourse. And you know what I'm talking about. We need a deep Pitino run.
Real quick, I do want to hit on the Big Ten. Lenardi's got 6 Big Ten teams in. And Potsy, you brought an interesting team to our attention earlier in the week.
I did. The Buckeyes, dude. So, first of all, the Big Ten, it's going to get interesting. There's probably, what, like 4 teams that could find a way, find the path into this tournament. And I was trying to tell you guys, don't sleep on Ohio State, man.
We were trying to guess. You're mm-hmm. like, I've got a sleeper team that can what? Was it make a run in the Big Ten tournament?
That can pave themselves a path to the tournament to be one of those last 4 teams in. And, yeah, so you guys, what? I believe your first 2 guesses were Iowa and...
I had Iowa and I think Minnesota.
Okay, yeah, so I went Ohio State here. They play Rutgers at Rutgers tomorrow, I believe. If they win that game, and then let's say they win their first round of their tournament and then maybe pull an upset, I would not be surprised to see Ohio State as one of those last 4 teams in. I know Iowa, I believe Iowa's also in a similar situation. I think in most bracketologies, they're in like their first 4 out, something like that. You looking at it? So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting for sure. Big Ten.
Ohio State has a non-conference neutral site win against Bama, and I think that's going to go a long way.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, do they have to win the Big Ten tournament to get in?
Ohio State?
Are the stakes that dire for them?
You know what's funny is I think that them being so bad at certain points in the season may actually help them out to a degree because they're going to play more games in the Big Ten tournament. So, this is a team that can...
4-1 right now after they fired Hoytman.
They could get to 22 wins, be like 22-13, 23-13 maybe, and then you're talking about probably a tournament team. I mean, and that's going to be an interesting part too, because ever since Jake Diebler took over, they've beaten Purdue, your team on the road, home against Nebraska.
That wasn't nice. Just say Michigan State. That wasn't nice.
I mean, the way that game finished wasn't very nice either. Nebraska, who's a good team, they beat them at home. They're starting to craft a little bit of a resume here. They're going to have to win against Rutgers on the road.
That's a must win.
It's a must win.
That is a must win.
Right now, Ken Pom's projecting a 1-point loss. But if you win that game... I wonder, obviously you can't only look at the games that Diebler has coached.
You should.
But the way that this team has looked over the last month, it's a completely different team. Ever since they lost that game to Wisconsin, I mean, Diebler is 4-1 with wins against Purdue, Michigan State, and Nebraska.
And I'm looking at the top, like the top teams in the Big Ten, man. Like, so many of these teams are beatable. Like, Ohio State can easily upset a Northwestern or an Illinois or a Wisconsin in the Big Ten tournament.
That's the biggest problem with all of this, is there's 6 of these Big Ten teams in this tournament right now. Lenardi has 6 Big Ten teams. Let's get that number on down to, like, 3.
Yeah.
We do not need six teams from this awful conference in this tournament.
I will say, I do think that Ohio State has the potential to be this year's Penn State in the Big Ten tournament.
That's a great comparison.
Penn State last year just kind of bullied their way to the championship game and gave Purdue a little bit of a run
there. Were they like 500?
Yeah, and then they got into the NCAA tournament.
They were worse than the Buckeyes.
They've just kind of found something late there, and I think this could be another year where that happens. I don't be surprised if this Ohio State team, I think it's a great call, Potsy. I think this is a Buckeye team that could do some damage.
And if they lose tomorrow, it's over. It's over. But if they win, hey, there's a path, and maybe they can find it.
If they lose tomorrow, it's over, and you're fired.
Yes.
All right.
Wow.
Mark it down, Zetterman.
We need to see the spread. I don't even know what the spread is tomorrow.
All right. It's Basketball U, brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and buy at riverfront.com. When we come back, we'll get you some of our picks for this weekend's slate, where that's all coming up next on Basketball U.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay. I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
We will get to the picks in a little bit.
Our sport is under siege.
And we may have a culprit.
Our sport is under attack.
And he may be among us right now. Justin Pottinger, we are bringing you to the interrogation room.
What's going on, guys?
Listen, bring that music down a little bit for the people. Thank you.
For those who may have seen this week,
wasn't expecting this.
The Temple and UAB game was flagged after an unusual point spread jump.
Hey, listen, save it. We'll ask the questions here.
Yo, I actually have a funny stuff.
We will ask the questions here.
Early Thursday morning, UAB was a 2.5-point favorite. We get a text from one Justin Pottinger. We're in a group chat, the three of us and Charlie Bevins send our plays every single day. Shay gave us Temple that day.
I thought it looked pretty good. Looked appetizing to me. Got a bad team, real short dog against a much better team. Looked like a nice little wager to place.
You'd think that, wouldn't you?
Potsy replies with, damn, I like UAB.
About what, 10 hours later, something like that? Maybe not that long, but a little
about
bit later during the day.
4 hours later.
I get a text from Justin Pottinger. Whoa! The line is 6.5 now. I said, what? I go to look. When I check it, I see the Temple's a 7.5-point dog. Isn't that wild?
It got all the way up to 8.
Interesting.
A 5.5-point jump. That doesn't happen in college basketball without an injury.
Normally, we would just, you know, say Justin Pottinger. Sharp. What a sharp moment for Potsy.
Look at this guy.
Unfortunately, U.S. Integrity flagged the game for suspicious betting activity. And what's the rumor now? Temple lost on purpose?
As UAB went out and curb stomped the Owls.
Free.
100-72. That's what you have to say on the stand? Free?
Free. It was free. I tried to tell you, too.
Why was UAB your favorite play that day?
Oh, man. I'm sweating. Is it hot in here? Dude.
I don't know. You tell me.
That was wild. It opened at 3.5, I believe.
It opened 2.5.
2.5.
No, 3.
No,
I bought it down to 2. So I bought it down to 2. Yeah, and then it closed at,
Action
what,
Action Network
7
has it opening at 2.5.
Yeah, okay, so...
Look at him. He's a little nervous back there.
Dude, I got a funny story for you.
Okay,
later.
Well...
Let's hear it.
Later, Pottinger, did you or did you not have information that the Temple basketball team was going to quit on the floor? Did you or did you not know that Temple basketball was throwing the game?
Next question.
I rest my case.
No, UAB was free, man. It was Eric Gaines, bro. He's been a hooper since LSU. I had faith in them. And I remember that morning, dude, you threw me off, too, because the line, it looked weird, and you had Temple. And I stuck with my gut, went with UAB. I had a buddy text me, too, later. He's like, yo, what's good? Like, I saw you had -2.5. It's -6.5 now. Like, what's going on? I don't know.
Your official answer is you don't know.
Free. It was free.
That's why was it so free, Potsy? Why was this play so free?
Because Temple wasn't playing ball, man. They weren't playing ball.
Did you have any influence?
No, I had no
on
influence.
The outcome of this game.
No influence. I think I actually went like 1-2 on the day too. So I like lost my other two plays. This was the only winner I had that day. But if you guys want to take away my only winner, feel free. No, it was a gut feeling. I got lucky.
CCTV in Philadelphia picked up a man that looked like you delivering manila envelopes to every player on the Temple basketball team. Your thoughts on that?
Wasn't me. Could have been someone else. Wasn't me. That's a story, though. That's something.
Can you imagine Pottinger walking through the tunnels at Temple University with manila envelopes?
And a ski mask.
Yeah.
Here's your cut, kid. What the hell is going on? Were you serious when you said another school, I won't even name them in case you weren't, was under investigation? Because yep. I haven't seen that story.
Yeah.
So we've got multiple schools under investigation, effectively, for throwing games.
I saw that. I forgot what team it was.
Potsy.
Yeah. Hit me. I'm
ready
now.
Have you wagered on any games lately involving the Loyola Maryland Greyhounds?
No.
Why
no,
not?
I have not.
Were they not free?
Maybe they were free, but I had no insider kick on that game.
So are you saying you had an insider kick?
That was an interesting thing to say, yeah.
On the other game?
I had a gut feeling, I would say, on the UAB game. I had no gut feeling on, what'd you say, LMU? Mm-mm.
Is this gut feeling of the result of like a punch to the gut from somebody who told you you had to bet this money on this way?
It's the same gut feeling telling me to lay the horn on the Jayhawks +8.5 today.
All right, that's enough.
Justin Pottinger, you may now leave the stand.
All right, later, guys. UAB was free.
I think he's guilty.
Would they win by like 20?
He had something to do with this.
They lost by 28 points.
Yeah, yeah.
And surrendered 100. Anytime 100 is surrendered, free. I automatically say foul play.
Free.
They quit. They didn't want to win the game because, I can't say
they had backers.
I'm clearly making a joke. U.S. Integrity, I am clearly making a joke. Just want to make that clear. They had to lose the game because Pottinger was giving all the kids $5,000 to throw it.
I wish I could have that money to give these kids $5,000.
He's a bad guy, this guy.
The Justin Pottinger NIL program.
I'll let you know.
I don't know. That's not in the NIL trust, I don't think. That's not making the fund.
All right.
Your kid take a fall tonight.
When we come back.
Boy, I wish someone would do that to Mati Sissoko. Somebody out there, pay Mati Sissoko and to go to the wrong stadium for the game, please. I'll actually help Michigan State.
When we come back, we will give out our picks and also whip up a parlay as well. It's coming up next, Basketball U.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
All right, thanks to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. It's all been brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler, Jeep, Dodge, Ram, and buy at riverfront.com. Potsy, what do we have on deck for the picks today?
All right, boys, let's start off with Alabama. They're getting a lot of points, -14.5 at home versus Arkansas.
Yeah, I love this play. Alabama laying 14.5 at home. It's one of those that it's become a kind of darling thing for me. When I see the good teams like this laying a huge number like that, I kind of just lean into it. and it's been very kind to me this year. So I'm going to do it again with the Crimson Tide. They do, dude. There's one thing they do. It's score.
They score.
This feels like the game they score like 107. And I don't think you're going to see Arkansas get to 93. I think this will be like 107-84. Give me the Tide.
I'm going to go Alabama as well. This is going to be one of those lines. You see a big number, it's going to be a big number. They're going to blow them out. I'm on Alabama as well. All right, how about Iowa State? They're on the road today against Kansas State. Iowa State is -3.5 favorites.
This is actually my favorite play of the day.
Tang!
The Kansas State Wildcats.
Tang!
You can't take Iowa State out of Hilton and put them in a game like this weekend and expect Iowa State's just going to go come and show up like it's no problem. I like Kansas State in this spot.
I do too as well.
To win outright, to be honest. Keep the points.
I am right there with you as well. I am all about the Tang gang, so give me the Cats.
Never bet a team that's an underdog unless you know they can win. I'm going Kansas State here. Iowa State's just due for a loss, so I'm going to go K-State in this game.
Another tough night in the Big 12.
Okay, we got a weird line here. Creighton, guys, they're -1.5 at Villanova.
Yeah, I'm leaning into it. Taking Villanova, short home dog. The line feels too close. Feels like everybody's going to look at this and go, oh, I can get Creighton to basically a pick just to win the game? Easy. Yeah, that's a rent's due moment for the sports books. I'm going to go with Villanova.
I'm on the other side of this one. I just think Creighton is too good, and they'll stand tall on the road. Give me the Blue Jays.
It's such a trap game, but I'm going Creighton as well.
We're taking some cheese.
All right, how about South Carolina? They're +5.5 on the road versus Mississippi State.
This was weird when I saw this one.
I bet this morning with my actual money, not just to pick the games. Mississippi State at that point was 4.5. You're telling me it's 5.5 now?
Mm-hmm.
So the steam is with me on this home team. Like South Carolina ranked going to unranked Mississippi State. And the Bulldogs, for whatever reason, becoming a bigger favorite. U.S. integrity! U.S. integrity! Like... I'm sticking with Mississippi State here. It just feels right.
I'll be on the other side of this one. I like South Carolina. They had a tough game earlier in the week against Tennessee. I think they rally back even on the road against Mississippi State.
I got South Carolina in this one. It's just too many points at this point. I got the Gamecocks. All right, moving on. Kansas on the road versus Houston. Houston's -8.5.
Dr. J, do we have an update?
No update yet. I would say Kevin... probably won't play.
Won't play.
Won't. I'm going to lean will not, but it's so 50-50.
The number's telling you that. I mean, it opened at, 9? It got bet down to 7. That was kind of the feeling point of like, okay, Kevin's going to play. Now it's back out to 8, 8.5. I'm on Houston.
Yeah. If no Kevin McCullough, give me Houston.
I'm a Jayhawk. Going to take the points.
All right. Duke UNC, and then let's get to the parlay.
Duke UNC. Duke is -5.5.
Dukies at home.
Keep your points, Carolina.
At Cameron Indoor.
I'm with
the balls on this guy.
North Carolina, Duke, man, they're overrated. I like North Carolina a lot.
All right, what do we like for our parlay picks?
I'm going to go to one of my old reliables, one of my allies in 2024, Mount St. Mary's getting one against Fairfield.
Out of here.
Mount St. Mary's.
You want to call him for U.S. integrity.
13-17, Mount St. Mary's getting a point against Fairfield. I'm going with the Mount. I love the Mount. They've been great to me this season.
I'm going to go to the SEC and take Ole Miss. And just take them on the money line. They're like -110 on the money line against Texas A&M and a virtual pick them there. Give me the home team. Give me the running Rebs.
All right, I'm going to go Memphis. I believe I'm the first leg of the day. Memphis +7 versus FAU. Memphis needs to make the tournament. Or they want to. They're trying to make the tournament, and they need to do that by winning today. So I got Memphis +7 to wrap up the parlay.
All right. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back next week, 8 to 9 a.m. And also stay tuned for some special stuff that we'll be doing throughout the week as well. It's all brought to you by Riverfront Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and buy at riverfront.com. We'll talk to you next week.
This is Tyler and Shay.
Tyler and Shay.
I know you're going to dig this.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.